Hello, everybody, and welcome back to Rev Hang. I am Nathan, as always, and alongside me is my good friend and co-host. What a great start. Ben Bagley. How you doing, Ben?
We're having an awful start tonight, actually. But we're here. We're only a half hour late to start actually recording.
Yep.
I have my work phone on me because I'm on call, technically.
Mm-hmm.
But all that matters is that we've made it to the end of the season. We survived. We have. Against all odds, all 24 races. I don't think we had a single race canceled this season.
Nope. Yep. The first time in, what, 6 years?
Yeah. My usually goodness. It's Spa or Imola or
yeah
something. So
exactly.
It felt like a long season. We brought this up before, but it's too many races.
It's too many races, yeah. But we
Who else has served too many races?
No.
Helmut Marko.
Oh, yes. Yeah, indeed. I don't know how to transition into that.
They're calling it the worst segue ever.
That's what they're calling it. So this is a racing podcast. We didn't talk about anything else yet, so
yeah.
This is a racing podcast. We're gonna talk about racing stuff now. Starting with some paddock news. Helmut Marko, as Ben alluded to, has been fired from Red Bull, and actually there was a reason. It wasn't just like they got sick of him, even though I'm sure that factored into
it. The straw that broke the camel's back.
Yeah. So, I don't know if you saw why.
Yeah.
So, he hired Arvid Lindblad and Alex Dunn to drive for RB next season without consulting anybody else at Red Bull.
Very cool.
And so, Red Bull then had to go and pay Alex Dunn a lot of money, hundreds of thousands of dollars, to not race next season so that...
Yeah, because Alex Dunn had a McLaren contract, right?
I think he was a McLaren driver, I believe.
Yeah,
I don't remember.
He left that contract to go not race.
Right, and yeah. Meanwhile, Liam Lawson's just sitting here like, "Hey, I'm supposed to drive next year.
I'm still here."
So Liam Lawson will still be driving alongside Arvid Lindblad next season, not Alex Dunn. Just for Lawson to probably be dropped at the end of next season and then pick up Alex Dunn.
The end of next season?
At the it is Red Bull. But Helmut Marko's gone now, so maybe not.
It's up to the shareholders now.
Yeah, for real. But Helmut Marko is gone, so now Christian Horner's gone, Helmut Marko's gone, Adrian Newey's gone. Red Bull in shambles, question mark.
Or maybe
Red Bull will ascend. Yeah, maybe.
I think that's probably less likely. I can see them. I don't know. It's really hard. I feel like they have to have still like some top talent because the car got massively better.
Yeah.
Towards the end of the year, and we're going to new regulations. You know, that dead horse. So like, I think Red Bull's gonna be okay. I don't think they're immediately gonna drop to being like a midfield team.
Yeah.
Out of the blue.
Yeah, we'll see.
But we'll see.
We will
Worst
see.
Has happened.
Let's move into the Abu Dhabi Grand Prix, the final race of the season. And to give you some context, we'll give you the top 10 in qualifying. It was Max Verstappen, followed by Lando Norris and Oscar Piastri. Fourth and fifth were Russell and Leclerc. Sixth through 10 were Alonso, Bortoleto, Ocon, Hadjar, and Tsunoda. Moving into the race, Verstappen maintained the lead at the start. Piastri passed Norris into turn 10 for P2 on lap 1. Norris spent the first half of the race defending P3 from Leclerc and Russell, who were charging behind him. Hamilton made his way through the field after a poor qualifying. Norris pitted into traffic on lap 17. Tsunoda then went long and tried to slow Norris down, but did not do a very good job of it. And got a penalty for weaving and forcing Norris off the track. I guess I forgot to finish my highlights.
That's
things.
Pretty much all that happened.
But that is essentially all that happened.
That's the race.
Yeah.
Nothing else happened, really. No big championship shakeups.
Not really, no. That was kind of it. So moving into the results of the race, Max Verstappen won, followed by Piastri and Norris. Fourth and fifth were Leclerc and Russell. Sixth through 10 were Alonso, Ocon, Hamilton, Hülkenberg, and Stroll. 11th through 15 were Bortoleto, Behrmann, Sainz, Tsunoda, and Antonelli. How did Antonelli have such a bad race?
He used up all of his bottles of lightning.
Yeah, that's right. 16 through 20 were Albon, Hadjar, Lawson, Gasly, and Colapinto.
Not a single DNF.
Nope, no DNFs, no yellow flags, no safety cars, no nothing.
I'm so excited about this race.
It was not the most exciting race, but the circumstances were exciting, so it was still enjoyable to watch.
Yep.
But if this was in the middle of the season, this would have been truly one of the Grand Prix of all
time. Another Qatar.
Yeah, exactly. But as a result of Lando finishing third, Lando Norris is your 2025 World Driver Champion. World Drivers Championship champion thing. Yes. Woohoo! Yeah, go team.
You're excited about that, right?
Yeah, I'm excited about that.
Do I need to convince you, or
no? A medium-sized part of me, about 50% of me, wanted Max to win the championship because it would have been one of the greatest comebacks of all time, and it would have been hilarious.
Yeah.
But the other part of me, the McLaren fan in me, and also the human in me, wanted Lando Norris to win, because if Norris lost because of McLaren's ineptitude, that would have been tragic.
That would have been pretty rough. Yeah.
Yeah. So I am happy that Lando won. I'm happy for him. I do think this is probably maybe his only championship. But who knows? Maybe McLaren nails the regs starting next year. But again, I think Oscar.
It's so hard to tell.
Piastri's going to be, I don't know. I don't see Piastri losing head-to-head to Norris again.
No?
No.
Interesting.
I think he'll be way too good by then. That happened. Also, it was Sauber's last race as Sauber. They are turning fully into Audi next season, and Sauber will no longer be on the grid. Very historic team. They've been on the grid for almost 30 years. They had a couple of good seasons when they were winning races. I don't think they ever won a championship, but...
No. Towards the end, they kind of became the place where former championship drivers went to retire.
Went to retire, yeah. That is true. They were only good for a couple seasons, but they've been on the grid for so long that they're kind of a legendary team. Renault is no longer an engine manufacturer as of yesterday or 2 days ago. So Renault engines will no longer be on the grid for the first time in quite a while, actually, because they've been on the grid forever.
Yeah.
Even when Renault wasn't a part of it, like, I think they powered Lotus, and then Renault came back, and then it was Alpine, so.
Yeah, they used to be the engine manufacturer.
Yeah. They even pulled out of Formula Renault, I think. I don't think they're doing that anymore either.
What's going to power the Formula Renaults?
I don't know. I think it's, like, the Formula Euro Cup 2.5 or something. I don't know who's powering them. Wouldn't surprise me if Ford jumped in and did that.
Honestly, do you remember the Formula Fords that they used to make? The EcoBoost 1 liter three-cylinder and the little Formula-style chassis?
Yeah.
Those things were actually sweet.
Joseph Newgarden won a lot of races in those.
Did he really?
Yes, he did.
I didn't even know that.
Yeah, Joseph Newgarden. I made a whole documentary on Joseph Newgarden.
Listen, it's been a while since I watched it.
Yeah, I know. That was a very small part of the documentary, so I'll give you a pass on that.
But... yeah, if I could ever find one to buy, that would be so cool. That'd be super sick. I would trailer that everywhere.
Yeah, absolutely. DRS is officially no longer a thing. This was the last race with DRS. Now we have X mode, or whatever they're calling it, with active
aero. Definitely not push to pass.
Yeah. It's active aerodynamics. It's also not push to pass because everybody gets it regardless of where you are.
Yeah. Oh, it's a 1.6 liter turbo in the Formula Fords. Sorry.
Gotcha. Yeah.
A 1 liter would be cool, though, too.
Yeah. So now we have active aerodynamics coming starting next season, which is interesting.
Yeah.
I don't really understand the point of that, because you're just reducing drag in a straight line, which, if everybody's doing it, doesn't really do anything. I mean, I don't know.
I don't think so. I think problems will be exacerbated by the fact that people are going to have to be downshifting on streets.
I think they Band-Aid fixed that problem.
Yeah, but, by artificially reducing the power so they top out sooner.
Yeah, and the power band slowly goes down.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They're essentially derating their batteries as they go down the longer straights.
Yeah, which is definitely what you want to see from the pinnacle of motorsport.
Yeah, love to see it.
Yeah, I think there's going to be a lot of growing pains next season. and I don't know if they're going to be able to fix it, because I think there's also new regs coming in 2028. So this is going to be a very short... period of 2 years. before they decide we need to change everything in 28 and go back to V10s.
That's not going to happen.
No, it won't.
There's no way. We're still locked into V6s, I think.
Yeah, probably.
But surely in 2032.
Maybe. With a sustainable fuel that's carbon negative or something.
Carbon like negative. It creates pure water that's collected by the end of the race and...
and shot into the atmosphere. Yeah. All right.
Guarantees a wet MotoGP race every single time after quali.
Exactly. Yuki Tsunoda also had his last race, most likely, unless he gets picked up by a team, which seems very unlikely at this point, because they'd have to drop somebody else. Unless we have a surprise retirement, then maybe Yuki Tsunoda gets a... Maybe Fernando Alonso's like, yeah, I'm done, but I doubt that.
But the team's going to choose Yuki Tsunoda, who's already technically still under contract at Red Bull as a test driver.
This is true, yeah. It's unlikely.
Along with Daniel Ricciardo.
Very unlikely.
Who I forgot about.
Yeah.
Who is also, I remembered,
still employed by Red Bull.
Still employed
by Red Bull, yes.
I thought he was doing the test driving for a little bit until I saw that Yuki was hired, and I was like, yep. Well, what's Daniel doing?
He's just for the brand.
He's just hanging out.
Yep. They don't want him advertising for any other teams. That's all it is. They're paying him to exist as a Red Bull person.
They're paying him to not be a... Where'd he go? He wouldn't go back to McLaren.
Maybe. I don't know.
Williams?
Yeah, I don't know where he would go.
I don't.
I'm trying to think maybe like another drink brand, but there's nothing like American. Because the man, I guarantee you, lives full-time in America now.
You think?
100%.
He lives in Colorado next
Probably
door to
Los
Valtteri
Angeles.
Bottas.
I think he lives in LA, but...
I can see that, too.
Yeah. Anyway, moving back into the race. I don't know if Red Bull even really tried to win the championship. I mean, I'm sure they did, but...
A couple people at Red Bull tried.
A couple people did, yeah. there was an opportunity where Max could have taken a free pit stop and then tried to back up the rest of the pack. Including Lando Norris into a DRS train and have somebody hopefully pass Lando for P4, hopefully for Verstappen. But they did not pit him. They instead just hoped for a miracle, and the miracle never came because it's Abu Dhabi, and There's only been one miracle in Abu Dhabi, and it was a nightmare.
His name is Nicholas Latifi.
Yeah, Gotifi himself. I'm not really sure what happened there. I'm sure they're going to review that decision. But I would have liked to see them at least try to do something.
Yeah. Take a risk.
Yeah. Otherwise you're just sitting hoping that it comes to you, and rather than going and actively trying to win the championship. Max Verstappen finished the season with 421 points. Lando Norris won with 423, a 2-point difference.
That's crazy.
Which, of course, the 2-point difference came from, along with many other points in the season, Kimi Antonelli letting Lando pass in Qatar. If that did not happen, Verstappen would be the world champion.
Which is crazy. Also not Antonelli's fault.
What was Antonelli's fault was plowing into the side of Max and making him DNF in Austria. But.
Yeah. It's whatever. Who knows? If that hadn't happened to Max, maybe he would have had a different mentality going into this part of the race and not wanted it. I don't know.
But this is why you can't play this game, because if any number of things were different, then any number of people could be the world champion. Or, in the wise words of Max Verstappen, if my mom had balls, she'd be my dad.
Thank you, Max Verstappen. Very cool. If Nico Hülkenberg was fast, then he could have been faster. Something.
Indeed. Moving into the championship standings a little further, Oscar Piastri finished with 410, only 13 points behind Norris. Russell had 319, Leclerc had 242, Hamilton had 156, Antonelli had 150.
He did beat Antonelli by the end of the season. Just barely.
Alex Albon had 73, Carlos Sainz had 64. 10th place. Running off the top half was Fernando Alonso with 56 points. You remember at the beginning of the season when he went like the first 8 races without scoring any points?
Yeah.
And we were like, is it even going to happen? Yeah.
It did kind of just barely happen. Just a little bit.
In 11th place was Nico Hülkenberg, tied with Isaac Hadjar at 51 points. Hülkenberg, they did both have podiums, so I am pretty sure Hadjar I think Hadjar had multiple podiums, so I think that's actually reversed. So Hadjar should be in 11th, followed by Hulkenberg in 12th, Behrman in 13th, Lawson in 14th, Ocon in 15th. I'm pretty sure Lawson probably has a higher finish than Ocon. Didn't I know Ocon had like a P4 at some point, didn't he?
He had like one good result. He had
one really good race, yeah.
Whereas Liam Lawson surely did not.
Liam Lawson, I think, had at least a 6th.
I don't remember him getting any higher than that, though.
I don't know if he ever got higher. I think Ocon had a couple of, like, 4ths and 5ths. But, like, Behrman was always the Haas that was, like, putting in these legendary results.
Yeah.
Lance Stroll in 16th at 33, followed by Yuki Tsunoda in 17th at 33. I would not be surprised if Lance Stroll has a higher finish than Yuki did over the course of the season. Tsunoda, I don't like barely ever scored points.
Yeah.
He does have 33 points, which makes me think he did have a couple of good races, maybe like top fives.
I feel like most of those were probably from his RB.
Maybe. I don't know. Pierre Gasly had 18 points somehow.
What? It says here Pierre Gasly had 22.
What did I say?
18.
I said 18. 22 is what I meant. I read 22.
He's in 18th and I place. Said 18.
Yeah, that's what it was. 19th is Gabriel Bortoleto, which kind of is crazy that he scored the least points of all the people that scored points.
Yeah, because I feel like he actually had a couple of
really good races.
That's just the power of the Sauber.
Yeah, I guess so. Colapinto and Doohan round off the order, both of them at 0 points.
Womp womp.
Yeah. Alpine is in 3 of the last 4 spots.
Yep.
You hate to see that.
Surely Alpine will recover for next year. What engine manufacturer is Alpine going with next year?
Mercedes?
Are you looking it up?
Yeah.
I also want to say Mercedes, but I don't know why. I don't have any reason to say that.
It wouldn't be Ford. Yeah, Mercedes.
Okay. Well, maybe they have a better chance next year.
Maybe. Yeah.
I am pulling for Mercedes to have a pretty good power unit figured out for next year.
It's possible. I'm going to have another McLaren. Great, great season. Yeah, probably not. pit stop championship time. Charles Leclerc finished in first place this week with a time of 2 seconds flat, followed by Alex Albon with 2.02. I think Williams probably best pit stop of the season.
That's got to be.
Norris at 2.12, Hamilton at 2.14, Piastri at 2.18. Then 6th was Verstappen at 2.26, 7th was Stroll at 2.3, Russell at 2.4, Hulkenberg at 2.48, and in 10th place, runner off the points finishers, was Ocon at 2.58. Longest pit stop was Liam Lawson at 8.73 seconds. Not sure what happened there.
Is that for a penalty? I think he and Tsunoda
both had penalties. Oh, yeah, he did have a penalty. Yeah. Yeah, that's right.
So that makes Alonso the slowest. The
longest non-penalty at 4.23 seconds. Brutal. Classic Aston Martin things.
Yeah, that's even faster than Behrman's botched pit stop.
Yeah.
What was his pit stop time? Where's Behrman?
Behrman? He's right over right there. 3.12. It's really not that bad.
Yeah, I thought that was a lot worse.
3.1. Huh. Yeah, it's not terrible. Did he have multiple stops? Because it takes the fastest stop.
Oh, yeah.
So it's possible.
That's why.
Moving into the standings. Final standings. Leclerc, of course, we have already discussed, won the championship at 3.32, followed by Hamilton at 2.52, Tsunoda at 2.43, Piastri at 2.26, Norris at 1.84. 6th through 10 were Lawson at 1.75, Russell at 1.54, Bortoleto at 1.42, Verstappen at 1.36, and Hadjar at 1.35. Then 11th to 15, Antonelli at 99, Albon at 56, Hulkenberg at 53, Gasly at 50, Behrman at 36, and then 16 through 21, rounding off everybody, Colapinto at 35, Stroll at 35, Sainz at 28, Alonso at 21, Ocon at 17, and Doohan at 14. Ocon had a horrible year Doohan had 14 points and was only 3 points behind him in the championship.
And he only raced for 4 races?
If that, right. I think three it was races? 3, because it was, one. Is Australia the first race again, or is it Bahrain still? No, Australia was first, and then it was Bahrain. And then it was China.
Yes.
Yes, I think China was his last race.
Wow.
Or was he the one that tried to go around turn one in Japan with his DRS open? I think it was him.
I don't remember.
I think it was doing.
So long ago.
Yeah. Anyway, overtake of the week time. I gave this one to Oscar Piastri for his overtake on Lando Norris on the first lap of the race, going around the outside with championship implications. Good stuff. An honorable mention would be Lando Norris passing Lawson and Stroll, I believe, going into turn six. Yeah. Double overtake, dive bomb on Lawson, made a stick. Good stuff.
We love the dive bombs.
All right, time for our predictions. We didn't actually do terrible this week.
That was actually pretty good, yeah.
Yeah. To remind everybody of the top five, it was Verstappen, Piastri, Norris, Leclerc, and Russell. Ben, what did you have?
I had Verstappen, Norris, Antonelli, Piastri, and Russell with Hulkenberg as my dark horse.
Yep. I had Verstappen, Piastri, Antonelli, Norris, Russell, and Hadjar as my dark horse.
So our instincts were mostly right.
Pretty close, yeah.
I would like to note that I did have Norris winning championship.
So. Yes, and I did not. Yeah, that is correct. Fastest lap went to Charles Leclerc. What'd you say?
I had Norris for this one.
I had Antonelli. Driver of the day was Max Verstappen, and both of us said Verstappen.
Yep.
You learned, Ben.
I figured it out.
You figured out the patterns. All right, Ben, you have words of wisdom for us. You don't have anything written down.
I don't have anything written down, but it's super rainy. Like, it's an atmospheric river.
It has been for many days now, yes.
Yes. But, you know, it's continuing to be super rainy.
Yes.
So if you're driving through big puddles and stuff, just remember to
hold on to the wheel.
Hold on to the wheel, yeah. And, you know, a lot of hydroplaning on the roads. Yes. And when you hydroplane, you will go slower on the side that hits the big puddle because you've lost friction, you've lost drive, you've lost braking on that side. So it's very important just to keep the wheel straight. Don't do crazy counter steer.
Don't hit your brakes really hard.
Yeah. You want to maintain as much grip as possible, and steering really hard or hitting your brakes really hard or accelerating really hard takes away what little grip you have.
Yes, indeed.
So just be mindful of puddles on the road. Try to go around them.
Yeah.
Generally. Sometimes you can't, but
sometimes it's hard to see, especially at night.
Yeah. Slow, steady steering inputs.
Yes, very good stuff. And have you noticed, Ben, on a kind of a rabbit trail on that?
Oh.
When did we start calling these atmospheric rivers? Because I feel like it was within the last couple years. Because this has always just been Oregon weather.
I think we just became adults.
Maybe we did just become adults.
And we never really heard them called atmospheric rivers because we weren't watching the weather.
I guess that's possible.
Maybe.
I don't know.
Maybe it's a new term that's been coined. I don't know.
I don't know. I guess it's a thing now. We also never had fire season growing up.
That is true, yeah.
That is something that I know for a fact is not just because we're adults.
That's actually gotten worse. Something forest management. Mismanagement, something.
Let's hear it for the Oregon government, ladies and gentlemen. But this is not a politics podcast. This is a racing podcast. So, with that all being said, let's talk about cars now. It is time, after a one-week hiatus,
yes,
for Ben's Craigslist pick of the week.
And this is a weird one. This is not something I thought I would be picking either. But it's kind of neat, actually. You'll have to tell me if this is something that you would actually want to own or drive, especially considering price. I have for us today a 2020 Jaguar I-Pace all-wheel drive EV400S. It has 88,000 miles on it, and it is $18,000. It is fairly well used given the mileage in the years, you know. Almost 90,000 miles in 5 years. That's like, how many is that? What's 90 divided by 5?
Oh, Ben, it's too late in the day for me to be doing math.
Hold on.
90 divided by 5? Sounds
Aren't
like...
Are you Microsoft certified?
I don't want to talk about that. It sounds like 15-ish.
18,000 miles a year on a Jaguar EV. So it's kind of crazy, but at the same time, like, if it was going to have problems, it would have had the problems, I think.
Yeah.
It's also from Bend, so, like, no salt on the road. It's pretty dry. Dry climate. includes the charger.
But it has an automatic transmission, Ben.
Incredible. Wow.
That's crazy.
It has a transmission at all. It's incredible.
An electric car.
Yeah. But it's pretty cool. They use these for Waymo taxis. Say what you will about robot taxis, but the fact that a multi-billion dollar corporation has chosen these as their platform of choice does say something for the reliability and certain characteristics.
Coming from Jaguar, having a car be like endorsed as reliable is kind of insane.
It's impressive.
It's a British car. It's supposed to break, but it doesn't.
I mean, it's better. Yeah. But it's kind of cool. It's got the nice sound system. It's still got 240 miles of range. Air suspension. It's pretty
clean.
Pretty clean. Yeah. And it's actually for $18,000. You know, if I was just looking for a commuter car to drive between, you know, have an 80-mile round trip from here to work.
Yeah.
This would be a pretty good commuter car, honestly, for $18,000. Like, I'm comfortable for the 2 hours that I'm on the road. It's reasonably quick. It's got all-wheel drive, you know, for those rain scenarios. Decent room in the back. Like, it's kind of cool. It's got the Meridian sound system, which is pretty good.
Yeah.
I obviously don't hate this, but would you drive this for this price as somebody who will be looking for a car soon? Not that you're looking for this particular car, but as somebody in that mindset.
Would I be happy driving that car?
Yeah.
Yeah. Would I buy an electric vehicle in my current living situation? Absolutely not.
Yeah. Apartment complexes are really kind of weak on electric charging, which I think is dumb. Because I think that is like, it's such a layup in terms of like, you have the parking spaces.
Also, the state of Oregon, once again, getting into this, really? Has made owning electric vehicles extremely difficult, which is so ironic because they really want you to.
Yeah,
but they also want you to pay so much money.
Yeah, and the federal incentives are gone. Which having that federal incentive gone really hurts, honestly. Because I was actually like, every so often I see an electric vehicle, and I'm like, I would actually buy that because we have the truck that can do long distance drives with decent gas mileage.
Right.
So like having a car that has 300 miles of range would probably be fine.
Be fine, yeah.
And it would definitely save money for commutes, but.
Yeah, no, for sure. I mean, again, I don't have anything necessarily against electric vehicles. It's just not practical in the United States yet.
Yeah, or at least unless you live in a really big city
part of the United States.
Yeah.
Also, they just tripled the price of title and registration on electric cars, which is just, you know, the most Oregon thing to do.
Yeah, thank you. Very cool.
Thank you much.
But yeah, I actually kind of like these. I think they're kind of neat. I like the big, like, nostril thing in the front.
Yeah, that's cool.
I think that's a cool
touch. The reverse hood scoop.
It's kind of cool. I can kind of see what they're cooking.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think it's pretty cool.
Yeah.
And for $18,000, it's pretty neat.
It is pretty neat.
If I do say so myself.
I'll still be buying a gas-powered car.
If they made more plug-in hybrids, the decision would be so much easier.
Yeah.
Just give me more plug-in hybrids with, like, 50 to 80 miles of range. Like, that's what I like about my plug-in hybrid, is that's 50 miles of range. 20 miles of range is not that useful in plug-in hybrid.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm still sitting here on the Civic Si. Civic hybrid, I've been thinking more about. Also, it's getting a little more tempting. Thinking about, hey, if I destroy my knees again.
Oh, yeah.
having something that's not a manual might be nice.
Yeah. Does the wife drive manual?
The wife does not currently. She knows theoretically how to drive manual. She is not well practiced. So we'll fix that. I just haven't been able to fix that in my current car because the transmission is not working. And you kind of need a car with a working transmission to teach somebody how to drive a manual transmission car.
What comes first, buying the manual transmission car or learning to drive the manual transmission car?
I don't know, man. So, good Craigslist pick of the week, Ben. For $18,000, I do think that is quite a steal if you are in a living environment where that makes sense.
Yes, that is a good asterisk to add.
Yes. Yeah. But that will do it for this episode of Rev Hang. Thank you everybody so much for watching and or listening. If you enjoyed this episode, leave a like or rating on the platform you listen on. It really helps us out. Subscribe or follow if you'd like to see more. If you want to see updated standings, the final standings for IndyCar and Formula One, check out our website at revhang.com. If you have a question about racing or about us, hit us up on any socials and comments or DMs, and we may feature your question on the next show. You can follow Ben on Instagram at BenjiMeetsWorld and or myself at 2N_squared. You can follow the RevHang page on Instagram, Twitter, YouTube, anywhere at RevHang Media. We'll be back in an undetermined amount of time because I will be getting knee surgery,
yes.
as previously noted, in less than a week. So when I am in a place where I can maybe partially write a script and maybe coherently-ish talk,
wish him luck, folks.
Yeah.
Essentially.
The next episode, the final episode of the season, will most likely take place virtually because I probably won't be able to drive to Ben's house. So we'll go back to the old format for one more time and then new exciting
big
things
changes.
In the future, hopefully, if everything goes how we are planning.
Indeed.
But with all that being said, we will see you again in some amount of time, hopefully within a couple of weeks.
If not, see you next year, I guess.
If not, see you next year. No, but we're gonna definitely do a review because we've got all these predictions that we made at the beginning of the season that we have to go over.
The predictions.
We can't just let this go, Ben. So we will be back. Historically, it's been around Christmas. Who knows where it's gonna be this year, but we will be back, as I keep saying over and over again. So and a promise. without further delay, thank you everybody so much for watching, and we will see you then. Thanks
see
for hanging
later.
Out.
I don't know, I jinxed you.
Eden.
Thanks. We're done.